Sahanao punaktu sahaviryan karavavahai tejasvinavati tamastoma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, Chapter 8, Talks Between Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai. Page 46, 2890. Ramananda Rai continued, Lord Krishna has made a firm promise for all time. If one renders service unto him, Krishna correspondingly gives him an equal amount of success in devotional service to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada. It is a completely mistaken idea that one can worship Krishna in any form, in any way, and still attain the ultimate result of receiving the favor of the Lord. This is a decision made by gross materialists. Generally, such men say that you can manufacture your own way of worshiping the Supreme Lord, and that any type of worship is sufficient to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Certainly, there are different means for attaining different results and fruit of activity. Speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and austerity. Crude men therefore say that one who adopts any of these methods achieves the Supreme Personality of Godhead's favor. They claim that it doesn't matter what kind of method one adopts, right? Because they're working from their own position. They have something that they want to gain from the Lord and some idea about the Lord. And so then they will adopt a process that they think gains this particular mental position that they want to obtain. You know, it's just like anything. You plan. I want something. I make a plan. I'll get it. And I work out what I think is the best way to get that plan done. Right? But that's one of the principles that you can see here, is that there's no dependency on the Lord here. It's my plan will make it work. So that means any path I follow, then, you know, you'll get to the same destination. But we don't see that in anything else. So you can see it's an impersonalist kind of concept, because they're trying to take it that it's opposite of this. So yeah, anything else you want, you have to have a very specific, the activity you follow has to match what goal you want. Right? You know, if you want lunch, then you have to cook edible things. You can't go into the bathroom and, you know, scrub the tiles or something, and then at the end expect there'll be this fabulous lunch.
So, yeah. Did you say that this is an
philosophy? Is that you do have the element that all varieties of mentality will fit into karma and beyond. So this will definitely fall into, you know, some aspect of there. But the Mimamsakas, they're very careful about following the Veda. You know, it's like it said, the Brahmanas are the section of the Veda, is the body of the Manomaya Purusha. Right? And so it's because of that, then, you know, you can move the arms of the other Vedas and the head, and it all makes some sense, and move around on the basis of, you know, the Atharva and all these things. And so then they're going to be very strict like that. Smartness, they're kind of the opposite. You can't make it means if you don't exactly follow the path like this, you're not going to get anything, because that's the way karma works. You know, because the general populace, they do whatever they like, and the results they get are quite varied, you know. Like, it means you could probably say every person on the planet wants to be a billionaire. But how many are? Yeah. So that's the point, is that they're following what it takes to be a billionaire and the others aren't. You know? Is that so the difficulty comes up is that they'll be saying it doesn't matter what path you follow, because they think they're establishing the path, and their idea of what the Supreme is also not the spiritual idea. You know, because their idea is that, you know, some liberation or some karma that they'll get from following. Right? You know, because they just say it's all one, so it doesn't matter, as every path leads back to the same place. But then the point is that means then there's a point. Right? By that, but they're saying it's anywhere. So then if you go any direction, it's the same thing. So it doesn't lead to the same goal. They're all going off in different directions, but since it's all one and it's all just Brahman, then you'll get to Brahman. So even their own idea of the philosophy doesn't make any sense. Right? Because how will all paths be the same? You know, so that means then, you know, you take this person, you know, down to the bus stand, you know, and while you're going to the bus stand, you talk to them about, you know, what's their plans and all that. And when you find out, make sure you put them on a bus that's going in the opposite direction of where they want to go. And as they get on the bus and they're complaining, then you say, all paths lead to the same goal. You know? It's like devotees used to, sometimes the people go, you know, it's all one and all that, and you know, you and me were the same, and it doesn't matter and all that. And then they go, give me your wallet. So if you are me and I'm you, then your wallet's my wallet, so give me your wallet. And then some of them would understand, and then you could have a proper discussion. And some of them would stick to the guns. No, no, like this. And then they give them the wallet. They take all the money, stack them up with books, and walk off. And that's, Yes, it has its preference. You'd have to turn the base, yes. Because it's leaning in a particular way that it likes that way of leaning. Yeah, very high tech. Follow the base. You know, because that's what it says, right? So this is the fan Purusha. So the, you know, there's the base that it has to. That's the foundation that makes everything work, right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, that's the best we can do, right? Don't get fan Purushas every day, right? Impersonal realization of the absolute truth is certainly transcendental. But this does not mean that one who has attained this realization can understand the Satchitananda form of the Lord. Similarly, Paramatma realization of the plenary expansion of the absolute truth within everyone's heart, is also an incomplete understanding of the absolute truth. But very nicely how it's said. Impersonal realization of the absolute truth is certainly transcendental, right? No one's going to complain. But this does not mean one has attained this realization and one can understand the Satchitananda form of the Lord. You could go, okay, so it's something different, it's fine, something. We're fine here. Similarly, Paramatma realization of the plenary expansion of the absolute truth within everyone's heart, right? Now here's where the interesting how the technique is also an incomplete understanding of the absolute truth. So in other words, he said the last one is also, but how he said it, it wasn't. And then this point, then he brings it up. You know, it's like, you know, what do you think of Vivekananda? You know, I don't think about him. What about Ramakrishna? He's another rascal. So, yeah. Yes, so because the thing is, if you know what your goal is, you know, to give somebody Krishna in some way or another, and you see the mentality that they have, then you know what they're working with, and then you will speak in such a way that it works for them. Without offense, yeah, but it means you have to use your intelligence. So it's not a problem for us that we have to do that, because if we're following the path of Buddhi Yoga, which means the yoga of intelligence, then why wouldn't preaching with intelligence then also be, you know, part of it? Like that. you know, the main point is that you're speaking the philosophy, it's correct philosophy, but you see how Prabhupada presents it, it's very, very, you know, very cultured. But it doesn't mean that he doesn't say the absolute truth. So it's a matter of confidence that this is the reality. It means Krishna has made the material world just so people can go back to Godhead. It has no other purpose. I mean, other than it's a holding, you know, place for those who haven't, you know, aren't ready to go back to Godhead. Right? But its actual purpose is to get you to go back to Godhead. So, therefore, even people who aren't interested, by being not interested for so many lifetimes, after some time, you start to ask why. You know? It's just obvious, you know, you've tried everything, it doesn't work. You know? Because you have the point of the samskars are there. You perform an activity, it creates a samskar, an impression. You know? And then you base your judging of activities, what you do, by these impressions. Right? The mind's going to accept and reject based on the impressions, and the intelligence is going to help you find how that what you see and what is your impression and if they can be connected. Right? Because you always have to go from what you know to the next step to something else that takes you towards the goal. Right? So now if at some point you've been through every species of life and every position there is in the material world, now you have some scars in all of that. So then now when an opportunity comes up to try to, you know, be successful in the material world, it's there's already a samskara in the back of the mind that we've already done this. This doesn't work. What's it for? What's the point? So then, that's when, hopefully, if one actually wants to know, then you come in contact with devotees. Paramatma's there. You know, if you just get frustrated and want to go jump off the bridge or something, then if that's the case, then, you know, you don't need to meet devotees for that. Right? That makes sense. You know, so the point is if you really want to know, that's what it's for. So the material world is even designed that it's going to create trouble so that you don't get too comfortable here. You know, it's just like, let's say, a prison in Holland. There's no need to leave. You know, you have a very nice private apartment like that. You can do all your studies. You get any food you want. You know, it's great. So why would anyone leave? But, you know, if let's say you're in a dungeon in, you know, Turkey or something like that, you want to leave. Yeah. Is that... Yeah. So the whole point is geared for that. So that means it's only designed to try to develop a relationship with the Lord, means by pleasing the Lord, because you can't know Him by any other way. As we mentioned, inconceivable. The Lord's inconceivable in His potencies, therefore you can't understand Him by logic. Right? So then, He has to reveal Himself. So that means for Him to reveal Himself, you have to follow a path that He likes. I can say, no, I can do whatever I want, and that will get me the same goal. Can you say that to, let's say, you know, the person down at City Hall that's supposed to stamp your paper to get some work done? You do whatever you like and he'll stamp your paper?
Maybe I
still. Yeah. Or like Vlad, you know, whatever, you know, you're coming, he'll nail it to your head, right? You know, so it's signed. Yeah. Even a devotee of the personality of Godhead, Narayan, cannot actually understand the transcendental attractive features of Krishna. Indeed, a devotee of Krishna who is attached to the sublime attractive features of the Lord does not consider Narayan very important. Because it's Krishna, it's just this manifestation of Krishna isn't as important for reposing your affections, because in that form he's reciprocating according to that particular moods of those devotees, you know, that are worshiping him. So if it's about, if it has the aspect of that transcendental attractive features, then you want to serve that aspect of the Lord, that feature of the Lord that has that most attractive aspect. That's Krishna. So it's, they know Narayan is Krishna, but it's Krishna at the office. You know, so let's say you're, you know, neighbors with a friend, and you spend your time talking and doing things together, then him at the office, that's not so important for you, because how do you, he's down there and he's in his suit, how do you talk about, you know, your lawnmower or something, you know, or the barbecue, or, you know, but you know, it's that you accept, you know, it's that, so that reminds you of Krishna, and then you're absorbed in Krishna and Vrindavan again. Because Krishna in Vrindavan has expanded as Narayan. So seeing Narayan, they'll remember Krishna. Does that make sense? But those who, Narayan, then, you know, this is, you know, he's God, so that majesty and all that, so then they want to be absorbed in that mood. So the sweetness, not necessarily very many of them appreciate. Some do, but not so many. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, yeah. When the gopis sometimes saw Krishna in the form of Narayana, they were not very much attracted to him. The gopis never addressed Krishna as Rukmini Ramana. Krishna's devotees in Vrindavan address him as Radha Ramana, Nanda Nandana, and Jashoda Nandana, not as Vasudev Nandana or Devaki Nandana. Although, according to the material conception, Narayana, Rukmini Nanda, and Krishna are one and the same, in the spiritual world, one cannot use the name Rukmini Ramana or Narayana in place of the name Krishna. The same means they're all God. That's what he means, because he's saying here the material point, is that they're all God. And so in this way, there's no difference. Right? But at the same time, is you can't replace, because the mood's different, so he deals differently with the different devotees. If one does so out of poor fund of knowledge, his mellow with the Lord becomes spiritually faulty and is called rasabhasa, an overlapping of transcendental mellows. The advanced devotee who has actually realized the transcendental features of the Lord will not commit the mistake of creating a rasabhasa situation by using one name for another. Because of the influence of Kali Yuga, there is much rasabhasa in the name of extravagance and liberal-mindedness. Such fanaticism is not very much appreciated by pure devotees. So it's interesting, liberal-mindedness, and that such fanaticism, right? The liberals like to call anybody who follows rules fanatics, but they're fanatics about their being liberal. Right? So it's not actually broad-minded, because it can't accommodate. Right? The extravagance can't accommodate, you know, following rules. The liberal can't follow the rules, so therefore it's their... Such fanaticism is not very much appreciated by pure devotees. Another, also very pleasant way of saying, yeah, useless. So that was about, yeah. So as you make that surrender to the Lord and that commitment to the Lord, then Krishna then reciprocates. And then you're able to be focused on the Lord. 2.8.91.94. Ramananda Rai continued, according to Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 4.11, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows my path in all respects, O son of Prita. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.32.22, it is said that Lord Krishna cannot proportionally reciprocate devotional service in the Madhurya Rasa. Therefore, he always remains a debtor to such devotees. So it appears that in other aspects, as they surrender, he can reciprocate. But for the gopis, then in Braj, he can't. When the devotees were overwhelmed with dissatisfaction due to Lord Krishna's absence from the Rasa Lila, Krishna returned to them and told them, "My dear gopis, our meeting is certainly free of all material contamination. I must admit that in many lives it would be impossible for me to repay my debt to you, because you have cut off the bondage of family life just to search for me. Consequently, I am unable to repay you. Therefore, please be satisfied with your honest activities in this regard." Although Krishna's unparalleled beauty is the topmost sweetness of love, of Godhead, his sweetness increases unlimitedly when he is in the company of the gopis. Consequently, Krishna's exchange of love with the gopis is the topmost perfection of love of Godhead. Right. Okay. So Krishna is the unparalleled beauty. But then when he's with the gopis, it expands more and more. Right? Unlimitedly. The others then will be kind of at a nice, and it's always ever increasing because he's always increasing. But the gopis, it's in another category. So that's why now he's bringing about, because Lord Chaitanya wants to know what's the ultimate perfection, the ultimate goal. So he's pointing out that this, now, if his sweetness is increasing unlimitedly, what's that in connection with? Right? It's in connection with his reciprocation with the love of the devotees. So we find it in here, that must mean that this position gives him the greatest happiness. Right? So then, if you're looking for what's the topmost, then you're going to be looking at this, because the intensity is greater. But as we said before, for the devotee in any of the particular rasas, he's fully satisfied there and fully engaged. And Krishna is completely happy with him, because that's his nature and that's what he wants, how he serves Krishna. But at the same time, if you're looking at it from intensity, then you have to see that that this Madhurya Rasa, that is in another category. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna and his devotees become perfectly intimate in conjugal love of Godhead. In other mellows, the Lord and the devotees do not enjoy transcendental bliss as perfectly. The next verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:33-6, will illustrate this point. Ramananda Rai continued, although the son of Devaki, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a reservoir of all kinds of beauty, when he is among the gopis, he nonetheless becomes more beautiful. For he resembles a Marakata jewel surrounded by gold and other jewels. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, Marakata is?
Emerald. Blue emerald.
Oh. Okay. And if it's a green emerald?
Also Marakata, but that sometimes they say sapphire, but it's a kind of emerald actually.
Okay. So is a blue sapphire actually an emerald?
I couldn't figure it out, but the Marakata is not exactly like deep blue, but it has its own hue.
Okay. Well, green, blue, how you say? Yeah, blue and yellow, you get green. Yeah. Right? So if there's less yellow, it'll be more blue. So that means the emerald already has blue in it. It's just a matter of there's more blue.
Yeah, it has its own beauty.
Okay. Okay. You've seen one?
Only on one.
It was great. It was an experience. Okay. Although the son of Devaki, the Supreme Personality of God... we already did that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, this is certainly the limit of perfection, but please be merciful to me and speak more if there is more. Right? So he's already saying, he has already described the limit of perfection. So we already understand this, but within this, then the fine point is going to be more. So in other words, the conjugal ras, between the rasas, this is the way it is. This is the status. Yeah? Ramananda Rai replied, until this day, I did not know anyone within this material world who could inquire beyond this perfectional stage of devotional service. Among the loving affairs of the gopis, Ramananda Rai continued, Srimati Radharani's love for Sri Krishna is topmost. Indeed, the glories of Srimati Radharani are highly esteemed in all revealed scriptures. Quote, just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Sri Krishna, her bathing place, Radha Kunda, is also dear to him. Among all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is supermost and very dear to Lord Krishna. Footnote 10. This verse is from the Padma Purana and is included in the Lagu Bhagavatam Tamrita 2.145 by Srila Rupa Goswami. It also appears in the Adi Lila chapter 4, verse 15, and again in Madhya Lila chapter 8, 18, verse 8. And also you have an aspect like this is quoted by Rupa Goswami, isn't it, in Upadesha Amrita. No? It's one of the verses is that, but whether it uses this wording exactly, but it's making this point. When the gopis began to talk among themselves, they said, "Dear friends, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else." Right? So he's saying just by all of them coming there, he can't pay them back. He's indebted to them. Right? But then all of them together are there and appreciating this one gopi that Krishna left with. So even though their surrender and his debt is so great, this one is even greater. Srila Prabhupada. The name Radha is derived from this verse, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:30-28. From the words Anaya Radhita, meaning by her the Lord is worshipped. Sometimes the critics of Srimad Bhagavatam find it difficult to find Radharani's holy name in that book. But the secret is disclosed here in the word Aradhita, from which the name Radha has come. Right? So in other words, the gopi who has been taken away by Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else. So that's the basis of the name Radha. Of course, the name of Radharani is directly mentioned in other Puranas. This gopi's worship of Krishna is topmost, and therefore her name is Radha, or the topmost worshipper. Right? So other places it may say it directly. Bhagavatam doesn't. Right? Udriti, Sri Ramananda Samvad. Having already discussed the super excellent qualities of the transcendental mellowness known as Madhurya Prema and Sri Krishna's inability to repay the service of the spotlessly pure-hearted cowherd girls of Braja, Ramananda then proceeded further in the same line in an attempt to discuss the service rendered by Srimati Radharani, the topmost servitor among all the cowherd girls. Sri Krishna, the absolute supreme personality of Godhead, is the full-fledged Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Ujvala Vigraha. His eternal form fully displayed transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss by his own internal potency called the Hladini Shakti. Right? Because the whole point is that then you're dealing with the topmost element of that, where then you're dealing with the internal potency, you know, between the aspects of existence. You're dealing with his desire as far as activities go, and you're dealing with the Hladini Shakti as far as his happiness goes, the Nananda. Does that make sense? Did you catch the matrix there? Did you catch that formula there?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Means we're always taking, we're taking generally in the Vastu Traya, right? And then you put Satchidananda, you put Sambin, Sadini, Ladini, you put all these always in the line like that, which is correct. And it is. They all have there. But at the same time, as Bhakti Vinod Thakur in Chaitanya Shikshamrita is talking about how these are the source of these different forms. Right? So his Sarup Shakti then has these three features of the Ashraya. You know, it has, and it has the, what do you call it? I'm only getting it in its nod form. It's not moving forward to becoming words. Guess it's not the time for it. Okay. Sri Krishna, the absolute supreme personality of Godhead, is the full-fledged Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Ujjvala Vigraha. His eternal form fully displays transcendental existence, knowledge, and bliss by his own internal potency called the Ladini Shakti. Srimati Radharani is the controlling deity of that joyous energy of Krishna. The joyous nature of Sri Krishna's energy and Sri Krishna himself are identical, but they appear separately for the purpose of enjoying each other. Therefore, Sri Sri Radha Krishna are two component parts of the same divine entity. Without Srimati Radharani, Krishna is incomplete, and without Sri Krishna, Radharani is incomplete. Thus, these two cannot be separated from one another. They combine as one in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to fulfill this transcendental truth, right? Just so that it's appreciated. Right? It is very difficult to understand the lila of Sri Sri Radha Krishna, but Lord Chaitanya is the most liberal, magnanimous, merciful, and willing benedictor of all living beings in this age of Kali. He is readily distributing the highest secret of the spiritual world and only requires that we accept it. He's distributing it, you just have to take it. Right? Lord Chaitanya has provided us with the easiest way to receive his topmost gift. The first qualification is that one should at once discard the idea of Sayuja Mukti, or becoming one with the impersonal Brahman. The second qualification is that one should simply hear all these transcendental messages in a fully submissive mood from a person who is a bona fide devotee in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami's dislipic succession. And third, right, means if you want to get this, what Ramananda Rai is talking about, this is the only way. You can't be following anybody else. Because the point is Krishna's this is the original position, and then from there he expands in so many forms and pastimes, you know, throughout the cosmos and for all the different devotees. But this taste is what then the doorway to that, because it's Radha and Krishna's pastimes in its topmost position, the doorway to that is Rupa Goswami. So, you know, does that make sense? So others can be worshipping Radha and Krishna and this and that, and they will definitely attain Radha and Krishna, but this particular flavor they won't, unless they follow what he's saying here. And the third and last qualification is that one must be pure in all one's dealings in life, remaining unaffected by the infectious influence of the age of Kali. A person who has all these three simple qualifications will have phenomenal, see, because these are the qualifications, right? But generally people, when they want to do something, it is so serious, they make up these complex qualifications. Right? Does that make sense? It's just, you know, the way people like, because the more complicated you figure, the better the result you're going to get. But here, the top most is because it's so simple, because that's the origin of everything. So it's the most simple. From that, everything else expands. And so when it expands, it has all these different combinations and permutations of varieties that are going to, require very specific kind of things. But here, this is the general. So it's the most open. That's why Lord Chaitanya, even though it's the most confidential and it's the original, it's the one thing that everybody can take. As you come down, some people are qualified that, some people are not. A person who has all these three simple qualifications will have phenomenal success in entering into the plane of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's unbounded mercy. Any deviation from the above-mentioned three qualities will completely close the door of entrance. Barman cable network. What does that have to do with anything? Is that where we printed it?
I don't know how it. That one paper has.
Huh? You don't have it? It's on the back of the days before.
Those were printed separately.
Oh, okay. So only I have the.
There's another set of
the. The Rahasya. Okay. And it says he's the proprietor. Okay. Any deviation from the above mentioned three qualities will completely close the door of entrance. Regardless of how one may try to understand him by the strength of one's mundane acquisitions. Without the above three qualifications, nobody can enter into the Lord Chaitanya's Leela. Those who have tried to enter it, neglecting the necessary qualities, are known as Aul, Baul, Kartabaja, Neda, Shaki Beki, Dharavesh, Shani, Sahajya, Smarta, Kast Goswamis, Ativadi, Chudadhari, Gaura Nagari, and many others. Such persons may be considered worthless imitators of Lord Chaitanya's Mahaprabhu's Leela. Unfortunately, they are misleading the ignorant masses who are already condemned by the influence of Kali Yuga. Right?
It seems that this three qualification is only for Gaudiya Vaishnava, Rabbi Padma.
But the point is, anybody can follow it. See, the whole point is we're not a line, just another line. We are the you could say the original line. All others are then derivatives of this line because of different flavors. Right, so this will be the original flavor, and then from that, different combinations. You can get so many other flavors. Right, so in other words, there's the worship of Radha and Krishna, but it's not in that full sweetness. There's a little appreciation of that greatness and everything like that. You'll get a different form of Radha and Krishna. So you like we see is that even in other sampradayas, that there are some who do worship Krishna and the gopis. How much they bring Radharani prominent, it depends. But at least Krishna and the gopis are there. So the Vrindavan Leela, Vrindavan pastimes, Radha Krishna, you know, the Krishna, the son of Namaraj Nanda, all those are there. There's a slightly different flavor. And so therefore, if you want that flavor, you have to follow those in that line. But those will be derivatives of this, just like Braja is first, and then all these others. But at the same time, as all these are inherent just in Krishna, who is, you know, who he is. So his nature is that all these things are there. You know, just like he has the internal potency, you have the external, and then you have the marginal. These are just inherent in his nature. Right? So all these things are there in the nature. But the point is what he enjoys the most is this particular one. Yeah. Like that. That's why then Lord Chaitanya's mission is universal. Anyone can follow it. Means even if you're from another sampradaya, if you follow our process, you go to Mangalarti, you can chant japa and do all the things we do, even though you have your faith in your particular deity, and everything like that, you'll move forward and understand things quicker. Because he's the Yugadhara, he's the Lord of the age. The others are bona fide, they are recognized by Lord Chaitanya, but they're preparing to bring out this aspect. You know, because you went from Karma Mimamsa, badly followed into Buddhism, into Mayavad, then into Ramanujacharya, then you know, Madhvacharya. So you have all these different aspects there to bring all the living entities forward. Does that make sense? But if someone's from a particular place and that's their taste, then it's perfect for them. But it's just that if this means anything to you and is interesting to you, then why not take it? Why go for something else? Because it's conjugal rasa is the adi rasa. Then from there, and then you get the parental, the friendship, and all this. But like in Vaikuntha, they only have the dasya and shanta. They don't have the others. Mm-hmm. you know, or they're restricted in a particular way, or you know, there's some aspect of this manifest. Like Ramlila, there's only one conjugal. So there may be other rasas, maybe. You know what I'm saying? So it's each has its own flavor. As you bring rules in and tasting, following the rules, then you know the rules are you would behave like this. Something sense. So it has its Krishna has that a little bit more. You know, when you have that mix of sweetness and majesty, then you're going to have those different flavors. So it's how much of the one, how much of the other. You know, and even within majesty, Vaikuntha, there's 24 deities. So there'll be slight variation in them. Because they're going to be, what do you call it? Features of, you have three features of Shankarshan, three of Prajumna, three of Aniruddha, and three of Vasudev. Right? And then, from that, I think, then that's 12. And then the other 12 you get by each one of those has another expansion. Does that make sense? Lord Chaitanya, it means I don't remember it, but in TLC, then Prabhupada's explaining. I think it comes up here in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Yeah. You know, it means that from Sankarshan will expand to Prajumna, to Aniruddha, and then Vasudev is then the form that embodies, you know, all those qualities being used at once. And then you're going to get three features of that. Does that make sense? No? Means each one will have three features. And so you're going to have these different aspects. So, yeah, I think it's Sridhar Swami. He mentions on the tilak, you're putting the tilak. The first three are Vasudev, the next three are Sankarshan, the next three are Prajumna, the next three are Aniruddha. Does that make sense? So Keshava, Narayana, and Madhava, those are three different features of Vasudev. Right? And then you're going to have expansions of them, that there'll be something of there, because it mentions how the expanse, so you get 24. So it's all you're dealing with is slightly different flavors. But it's very specific. Just like, let's say, you have something you like to eat. This is a very specific way you like it. And then if everybody gets what they like, then everybody's happy. You know? That makes sense. But everyone's eating, let's say, the same basic food. But someone wants, you know, some more chili, or someone wants some more sugar, someone wants more tamarind, someone wants more sauce, someone wants it dry, or something like that. But are all eating and they're all enjoying the same thing, but in its different features. And each one is happy. So that's the spiritual world. Everybody's happy. I say, everybody's a winner. Yeah. No? Okay.
What is making the difference? Means when there are different things like Vaikuntha and Govardhana. So can we say this individual desire?
Yeah.
And this desire comes from association with.
It comes from their own nature.
So it is original nature.
Yeah, original nature. So you're just uncovering what's there. It's just like. If you take a gold ring, drop it in the mud, when you rinse off the mud, what will you get? Yes, like that. So that's the whole point, is whatever it is, that's the nature. Because the point is someone's very satisfied. But the point is if it's about Vaikuntha, then why are you here now? Why not when Ramanujacharya was here? You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, Maya was trying to arrange it, but, you know, she's got unlimited universes and this and that, and you're just one guy, and you fell through the cracks of the machinery, and then you end up here. What can we do? We could just slot you in Gauranga's movement, that's all.
You need a
Yeah, you know, it's like that. So. But the point is even now, those who are from these other realms, by them, it'll work for them even better. And you see, is you can even have those who are Vaikuntha Wallas, but they can be appreciate Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. So that's the uniqueness of it. You can be a devotee of Lord Chaitanya, and then, you know, a devotee of Ramachandra, or you don't have to be of Radha and Krishna. But you'll appreciate because that's what he's tasting. Okay. Srimati Radharani is the most important of all the gopis, and her specific loving service is the highest expression of Madhurya Prema. Therefore, it is better that the neophyte practitioners in the devotional field not try to understand the intimacies of Srimati Radharani's confidential service. However, expecting that submissive and bona fide devotees will understand Srimati Radharani's service in the future, these confidential discussions are described by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that's a very important point, is that, because, you know, sometimes we were discussing before, why are the acharyas putting these if we're not supposed to do this? He says he is, but it's understood that expecting that submissive and bona fide devotees will understand in the future. It's written there. You know, it's just like when someone does a curriculum, they do the full curriculum. You know, all grades. But you start at the grade you're at. And if you go, you'll get through. Does that make sense? Yeah. Devotees who have been fortunate enough to rise to the spontaneous service of Godhead, Raghunuga Bhakti, and who have developed an attraction for Madhurya Prema, may follow in the footsteps of the confidential associates of Srimati Radharani and their assistants called the Manjaris. The ecstasy that was felt by Srimati Radharani when she met Uddhava in Vraja in her mournful mood of separation from Sri Krishna is personified in Lord Chaitanya. Right, so that particular mood is the mood that Lord Krishna absorbs himself in the most. So, by him setting Uddhava in that pastime, then what Krishna tasted there, what Radharani tasted, then is very extremely special. Nobody should imitate Lord Chaitanya's transcendental feelings because it is impossible for a living being to reach that stage. Right? So, don't even bother trying, right? However, at a stage of developed consciousness, one can simply follow in his footsteps. That we can do, but we can never come to that. These are the hints given by experienced and self-realized devotees in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. You know, so that's what their experience. So they say, this is what you do. And so you keep yourself busy. And so you could say, why is it Prabhupada and acharyas are talking about Varnashram? And Varnashram is for when you have more desires than will be accommodated by sitting under a tree and chanting Hare Krishna. You know? If you're good with that, you don't have to bother with Varnashram. Doesn't mean you don't follow etiquette. Because if you follow that Trinada Pisuni Chaina, then your etiquette, you'll be fine. Whoever you deal with, it'll always work. But if you have more desires, then what's going to accommodate it? You know? If more desires than sitting under a tree is you like moving your arm in big circles, you know, and holding various things in your hands while you do it, while ringing a bell with your other hand, Pancharatra will also engage many things. Right? But if it's in the fields of general kind of stuff, then Varnashram deals with that. So that's what it's for. It's for engaging the senses. The senses, we have a need to engage the senses. Varnashram does that. Right? It takes all the indirect activities and connects them to the Lord. And Pancharatra takes direct activities, connects it to the Lord, you know, in a direct way. You know, in a regulated fashion. In the Bhagavat, it's just direct. But whether your senses will be engaged enough, but the point is that's what you're trying to get to. Right? But it's not about the external of sitting under a tree. It's about being absorbed in Krishna, being satisfied in that service to Krishna. Does that make sense?
It seems very simple.
It is very simple. That's the whole point. No, but that's the point, is that you have to follow that descent of that simplicity. Then it works. Does that make sense?
Sometimes in our life, the mind is being simple, but making it complicated.
That's fine, but you have to follow the line that descends from that simple. So, in other words, Krishna being the origin of everything, that's really simple. Everything comes from Krishna. Krishna is Satchitananda, therefore everything has these kind of three features: existence, activity, and results. You know, and those results means your experience. So everything derives from this point. Then from that, because he is unlimited and the source of everything, then that means you can take that philosophy down to anything. So that's where then the detail becomes more and more sophisticated. Does that make sense? Yeah. But you have to follow that path if you want to be what do you say? If you want to be successful. Because that's the whole point. It is that simple. Because the living entity is eternally part and parcel of Krishna. That's what it is. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's just how simple it is. He's the Supreme Lord, we're his part and parcel. So the whole point is that we're not the body, we're the soul. Part and parcel of Krishna, our natural position is to serve him. Right? So the ultimate goal is to please him through devotional service, and that process is through chanting Hare Krishna. That is the complete philosophy. Then, each one of those, like how we're not the body, we're the soul, what the body is, you know, the whole creation can be there. You know, all these different things, and very, very technical. So each thing has that, chanting Hare Krishna, what all goes with chanting Hare Krishna. You know? So then, you know, it's like we have a book, big fat book on just chanting. Right? And so that's the whole point, is that simplicity, that's what it is. It's that simple. Our particular position we're in our particular conditioning, then you have to bring that simplicity down to the path that it takes till it gets to where you are. It doesn't go the other way around. That, no, for my path, I'll get to Krishna. Because then we start off with that problem there. What jato mat tato pat, you know. It's just whatever your path, whatever your thing, it's all the same. Because who will get there? So you have to bring from there. You know, it's like if you're in the well, it's not that you throw the rope in the air and then start climbing really quick. You know, I'll just climb quicker before the rope falls back down. When the rope descends from what is it? Oh, most high, right? Then it's very simple. You just grab it and. And the fun part is you don't even have to climb. You just have to hold on. You look to Tanya's mission. You just hold on. Then Bhakti David will take you.
It seems like when you are in danger, it's more simple.
It's more?
Simple.
Yes, because you kind of drop off all things of all those important things, of all those millions of things you have to get to today, whereas in danger it's just... If we just stay alive right at this moment, you know, yeah, life's more simple. So that's why it's said that when we see the importance of it, then we simplify. We see other things in the context.
I think Srila Prabhupada said that the Krishna consciousness starts when we see the the urgency and
yeah, it means when we see the urgency, then we take it seriously. So that's the point of we're serious, we're focused.
And importance.
Importance, yeah. Like Yudhishthira Maharaj is pointing out, for success, the first principle is focus. That means you have the understanding, you're convinced of it, you know, your doubts are removed, and you're focused on performing that. Then you make the endeavor according to that knowledge, and then you depend on Krishna for the results. So we know who we are and we perform our duties. The results are up to Krishna. So that's the difficulty of using modern methods. Because the modern method is, okay, for this goal, we are going to do these activities. And because we do it, that's why we'll get it. It doesn't work like that. Because the point is the knowledge comes from Krishna. The endeavor comes from Krishna. So that means the result comes from Krishna. Right? We're taking it. No, once I've learned the knowledge, it's my knowledge. When I do the activity, it's my activity. Therefore, it's my result. And because I did it so perfectly, I will get the result. Of course, we have the confidence that we know that Krishna, we serve Krishna, Krishna will reciprocate. We have that confidence. But the point is it's what is pleasing to Krishna, because it's about Krishna, not about us. Right? It means we're interested in our relationship with Krishna. But the point is our relationship with Krishna as servant is about pleasing Krishna. Does that make sense? Then it starts to work. But if it's about pleasing ourselves, I'll be more pleased. That's why we were saying before is that you sometimes get the questions, well, you know, can you change rosters or that? But then they're thinking about their own pleasure. How does that please Krishna? You change this rasa to that rasa, how that will change? I mean, how does that improve? Oh no, but these rasas are more. But Radharani's the most. You can't become Radharani. So there's something wrong in that approach. You know, because it's about themselves rather than pleasing Krishna. Then you could look at, I want to please Krishna. So then the process to please Krishna, Radharani's pleasing the most, right? And so therefore, I can't be Radharani, but then we can assist. But she already has assistance, so therefore we can follow those who are assisting her assistance. Therefore, he says, through the line of Rupa, Srila Rupa Goswami. So if I assist those in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami, then that's assisting Radharani. That gives the highest. So you have to start from there, not from ourselves. You know, otherwise, if you don't, then you end up with this list up at the top. It means there are people who do this, and they make a good endeavor, and they have thousands of followers, and well-renowned in their own circles. Right? The list up at the top here. Owl, Bowl, Kartabhaja, Nadek, Shaki, Baki, Dardavit. Yeah, especially here, yeah. Yeah, we're on a little island here, right? Yeah. Literally, right? Yes. Yeah. So these are the hints given by experienced and self-realized devotees in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami. They give hints because the point is if the hint's for you, you'll understand it. If the hint's not for you, you won't understand it. But the point is there's always something given for everybody at whatever the level. And so you can catch that and work on that. So does that make sense? You know, so therefore, like you're saying before, the Varnashram, it's not the Varnashram that's important. It's engaging the senses in Krishna's service that's important. So therefore, Bhagavat can fully engage, Pancharatra can fully engage, but it has to be, you are satisfied with engaging your mind and senses in these fields. And if it's beyond these fields, that's where, but it has to be bona fide, right? It has to be coming from Shastra, it has to be approved by Krishna. Therefore, then the Varnashram does that. So, we're our only interest in establishing Varnashram, it just makes a very nice system in which everybody can engage themselves in Krishna's service. At the same time, by the nature of it, because you're working to please Krishna, seeing someone who's advanced can also function within the same system. It's not a problem. One person is doing because of attachment. The other one's doing it just the form of the duty that they're serving Krishna through. So it's perfect. You don't get anything else. Everything else you have to keep switching and all that. You know? Does that make sense? And it's like modern education. Then whatever you learned before, let's say, you know, high school, they'll tell you, oh, that's useless. Now we're going to teach you the real thing. Then when you finish that and you go to university, undergraduate, they tell you, whatever you learned before, that's useless. Now we're going to tell you. Then when you go for your master's, then they're going to tell you, whatever you learned before, that's all nonsense. Now we're going to tell you. So the Vedic system is they just start with that. Whatever they would teach to the postgraduates, that mood, that attitude, that approach, that's what they teach to everybody. And then according to who you are, you need certain things. Okay, so we're going to teach that. But to do that, you don't know, you know, arithmetic. You know, 2 + 2 = 4. So you start there. But you still have that same mood and approach that you teach it from. You know what I'm saying? So that's the difference. You know, it'd be the difference between a first grade teacher. You know, they've done their schooling and all that, and they teach first grade and all that. And they may be very good, very experienced. Or let's say someone who's, you know, they're teaching, you know, language. Or a professor, you know, a PhD in language. You know, who's a master, trained others, and this and that, is a lecturer. You know, a very good experience. And he teaches that first grade class. Right? So now, the first grade teacher teaches the first grade class. From day one to the last day of the class in that school year, they'll have covered that curriculum of that year, and they will, you know it quite, be quite familiar. So, you know, if they're a good student, you know, she's a good teacher, you're a good student, it works out. But now if that PhD, what we mentioned, comes in, who has that mentality, and teaches the first graders that, in that 1 year, they'll learn way beyond 1 year. He'll be introducing, explaining things that come up in you know, secondary and tertiary and quaternary. He'll even explain in simple language the quaternary approach. So even though maybe in one sense they've covered that material, but the basis in their mentality, they're way ahead of any other kid. So that's the Vedic approach. You start with that top, and that top is so simple because it's universal. That's the point. If it's universal, it has to be that simple. But to be universal, it has to be that profound. So that's the thing, is that in the modern, they simplify, but it is simple. But in the Vedic, it's simple, but it's profound. So that's the difference. Yes.
I think nowadays also trying to explain simple for the simple is that many don't understand simple, and then they think simple equals primitive.
Yes.
So in that sense, we have to introduce, you know, so many things and say it's not primitive, this and that, mm-hmm. because then it sounds bad. Like
yes.
We've got nothing to learn, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But as you explained previously, simple means sophisticated. It doesn't
yes.
doesn't mean primitive.
Yes.
But most everybody think, okay, simple, it's not for me, it's like primitive. So this is the difficulty nowadays.
Yes, yes.
Simple is not appreciated.
No, no. That's the idea, is that so-called sophistication. Okay. No, it's driven by materialism. Because the point is, you know, what do you require? You know, you don't require all kinds of junk. Just like, if you've ever been in one of those, you have here and there. I know one in London, I think there's one in Milan. I'm saying every major place must have them. You have I think I've expressed this before, this shop is for gentlemen. And in that shop, it only has really good quality stuff that exactly does the work perfectly and never breaks. And it's real simple, real straightforward. The designs are simple. Everything's like that. And so then, you know, does that make sense? You know, so it's like that. It's just like technically, just like a running shoe. Do you need all those funny colors and angles and all these different things and design? No. But if you have that on it, then the guys who are simpletons will buy it. You know, so that's the, you know, so you generally see the gentleman, everything's refined. Most people won't even catch that he's so high class.
Yesterday I saw a picture. Srila Prabhupada is going up the stairs, and Mukunda Maharaj at that time, like I don't know, 22, 23 years old, and he's wearing suit and tie, mm-hmm. and leather shoes, and he's carrying a briefcase, and he looks like so perfect.
Who's that? Mukunda.
Mukunda.
Yes, yes. So he's refined.
And he has this little like a. You know, white, I don't know, scarf, how you call it?
Yeah.
And it's so stylish. And Srila Prabhupada is in his robes,
mm-hmm.
and Mukunda Maharaj is following him, and it's such a perfect match.
Yeah.
It's everything matching on him.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's actually, it looks as if he ordered that thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if he ordered or not.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I doubt, but...
But no, but he's refined. Mukunda Maharaj is very refined.
Yeah,
so that's the whole point, is you have to look on that. Like as one devotee was telling me, he works in aesthetics, right? You know, it's his field. He's a, I think he even teaches aspects of it at the university. He's a, you know, how you say. And he was saying one day he was doing something with somebody because he does photography and all that, and this other person is a photographer. And at first when he noticed the guy, he thought, wow, what a slob. Because they were there for this, you know, really high-class shoot. But as he started to look at what he was doing and how it was worn and that, he understood that, wow, this guy's like wearing the cutting-edge stuff. You know, it's just like, it's this... You know, because you had to look, because it's just the subtlety of it was just so much. So, does that make sense? Yeah. It's just, yeah. No.
Yeah.
Because it was the man's example? Or was it kidding?
Yes.
Okay. But even that, it didn't work for everybody. Okay. Yeah, that it always worked. The anamoya, and the anamoya purusha is universal, right? You know. Yeah. So the point is, they give hints. So they're giving hints. So giving these hints, then. If it applies to you, you'll catch it. And if not, then the card that you do catch, that's what you use. But you have to understand that it always goes back to pure devotional service. And one's always trying to attain these three qualities. Right? So, first, one should at once discard the idea of Sayuja Mukti or becoming one with the impersonal Brahman. Because then it has to be personal. It's about that. So that has to be... Your goal can't be this. Second, one should simply hear all these transcendental messages in fully submission and mood from a person who is bona fide line in the bona fide devotee in the line of Srila Rupa Goswami's. Right? And so then that means your activities are all in line with what you've heard from these authorities, and you ask and try to remove the doubts so you can apply them. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that. So your goal is you give up this bogus, you accept the personal goal. You find the right line. And the third and last qualification is that one be very pure in all one's dealings in life, remain unaffected by the infectious influence of the age of Kali. So that means everything you're doing, you're connecting to Krishna. You're willing to connect to Krishna. So on all these three, then that's the qualification. So whatever it is you're doing, your life is very simple in form, then that's what you do to connect yourself. or your life is very much more complex, but you're trying to connect everything to Krishna. Whatever you're doing, you're deciding everything based on the transcendental messages, you know, heard in the proper mood from the bona fide source in the line of Rupa Goswami, and you're trying to attain to please Krishna, the person, right? You know, the cowherd boy, the son of Maharaj Nanda, right? Does that make sense? Yeah?
It's universal.
That's the thing. That's what the thing is. So this idea is, we have to change to make it universal. No, they don't. The pure thing is universal. Any other derivative, yes, it won't exactly work for this one, but it'll work for that one. You know, if someone's taking, you know, something and overemphasizing it, then de-emphasizing it won't make it work any better. Understand? So, you know, yeah. To 101 to 102. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Please speak on. I am very happy to hear you. Because a river of unprecedented nectar is flowing from your mouth. During the Rasa dance, Sri Krishna did not exchange loving affairs with Srimati Radharani due to the presence of the other gopis. Because of the dependence of the others, the intensity of love between Radha and Krishna was not manifest. Therefore, he stole her away." Srila Prabhupada. Out of fear of the other gopis, Lord Sri Krishna took Srimati Radharani to a secluded place. In this regard, the verse, Kam Sharir Api, verse 106 in this chapter, will be quoted from the Gita Govinda of Jayadev Goswami. So there's a verse that specifically is talking about that aspect in the pastime. So, yeah, it's coming up in this group. 2:8, 103 to 111. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, right? So we see it's a matter of taste, of intensity. You can't get as intense with the others because they're all expecting that they're going to be the center of attention. So then you can't put all your energy Krishna can't put all his energy towards Krishna, Radharani. It means to the intensity that is natural for him and her to exchange, because they all have that dependence that it's going to be coming to them. They're seeing themselves as the feature. So it hasn't come to that full point where it's just about his pleasure. It still has that aspect of their pleasure also, right? Which you'll find in Dwarka, right, with the queens. But it can't go above Anubhava. It can't go to Mahabhava. Because of that aspect. You know, which is fair enough. But the point is in here, to bring it to that point, that higher point, then they all have to accept that supremacy of Radharani, which they, you know, we saw before, is they made that point. Dear friends, the gopi who's taken away Krishna to a secluded place must have worshipped the Lord more than anyone else. So now they understand that she's the topmost. So now they can see themselves in a junior position to that, in a service to that, supportive of that. Then you can have the Rasa dance with Krishna with Radharani, all the other gopis then supporting. And then millions of gopis, and it works very nicely. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, If Lord Krishna rejected the company of the other gopis for Srimati Radharani, we can understand that Lord Sri Krishna has intense affection for her. Ramananda Rai replied, please therefore hear from me about the glories of Srimati Radharani's loving affairs. They are beyond compare within these three worlds. Finding herself treated equally with all the other gopis, Srimati Radharani displayed her tricky behavior and left the circle of the Rasa dance. Right? Because the point is if he's... if she's being treated equally with all the other gopis, then what does that mean? You know, it's not that, you know, oh, Krishna's just doing whatever he likes and this and that. What does Krishna say? How does he reciprocate with the devotee?
As they surrender.
So therefore, if Krishna is dealing with her like everybody else, in this case, because they're all together. That means that level, which is, she's saying, is below her level, is the only, is the level they're at. And so he can't deal with her differently, because the others won't understand, and they'll create an obstacle for that interaction. Does that make sense? So, therefore, if you want to have the rasa dance, then Krishna has to do something that's going to elevate those gopis to understand their position and their relationship with Radharani. Does that make sense? This is prema samputa. Yes.
I'm thinking in this particular pastime with Ramananda Rai, when they met, and then it is mentioned that Sajatiya principle, they couldn't discuss what they wanted to discuss.
Yes.
Among the assembly of the Brahmanas, although highly elevated Brahmanas.
Yes, yes,
but they
exactly.
couldn't talk, because the discussion would be like very basic.
Yes, yes.
And then the same principle with the gopis, that the pleasure, the interaction would be, good, but very basic.
Yes, it wouldn't be, in other words, it would be greater than, let's say, any other devotees and any other rasa are experiencing, but to what it can be, because Krishna, being the perfect, Anandamaya Purusha, and therefore he has his natural form of Ananda. And so the counterpart of that is Srimati Radharani. Means he is the Lord, and his energy of that Ananda is her. Right? So without her, how does he taste? Without him, what is the meaning of her position? So, that was that point before. So it can't be taken to that paramount or pinnacle, or like this, and so many different words that they use. Kind of. Yeah. So a tricky behavior means she goes, and that way then Krishna, because without her, he's not going to feel satisfied, because they're non-different, so she knows. That's the point. That's why there's that confidence. But at the same time, is that confidence is never for oneself, right? She's just doing that to please Krishna. Krishna's just doing it to please her. And so then she'll leave, and because of that, Krishna will notice. Because who are all these gopis expanding from? Radharani. So if she leaves, there's going to be a change in the flavor. So then, yes.
Sometimes Siddhanta Saraswati, he uses that term moiety.
Moiety, okay, yeah.
And he explains, so he says it's two parts of one subject.
Oh, yeah.
So moiety means it's one thing, just divided into two parts. So he says Radha Krishna is a transcendental moiety, so it's one. Basically, it's one. So as soon as she leaves, he feels like incomplete.
That's very far out. Yeah, yeah. That's the advantage if you learn English by reading a dictionary. And when was he reading the dictionary? Would have been, 100 years ago when they actually used words.
Before
100 years.
Yeah, because it would be 1920.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So more than 100 years ago. Because I remember just dictionaries back from the 60s had so much more in it than nowadays,
Do they have dictionaries?
True.
Now we're going back in time and using symbols.
Yeah.
Like Egyptians.
Yeah, Egyptians, yeah. Hieroglyphics.
Symbols on
the wall.
Huh?
Symbols on the wall.
Yeah. That would be interesting as if they actually took it and translated all the emojis into hieroglyphics, and then, especially the kids, they could be fluent in Egyptian hieroglyphics and like that. Okay, yeah, somebody. somebody's done. That's interesting. Bachelor of Moetu.
There's one article Siddhanta Saraswati explained is, you know, very detailed. Yeah. I think
well, you have like that. Let's say like a walnut.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one nut, but it's got two halves. Yeah, okay. So she let tricky behavior and left the circle of the rasa dance so that Krishna would go to find her. Then in that, because now what does it mean? Because she wants to see Krishna getting the greatest happiness. So he's only got to get the greatest happiness if it's in contact with her, context with her. And then you can, so that's the standard. Then if you want to increase that, then you add in others on that same standard. So that means these other gopis aren't up to the standard. So by her leaving, Krishna will leave. Then he'll be happy being with her. And at the same time as these other gopis, then they'll be able to, through that separation, then come up to the standard that now they can properly take part in the rasa dance. You know, so everything becomes accomplished by the one. So therefore her tricky behavior. Right? But it was only for Krishna's pleasure. Missing Srimati Radharani's presence, Krishna became very unhappy and began to lament and wander throughout the forest to search her out. Right? So even though they may not be separated for long, but the point is there's that point where he goes to look for her and feeling, you know, just like we said with Krishna and Draupadi. So then when she calls out to Krishna in the assembly of the Kurus, then Krishna is in Dwarka sitting in his place and he says, oh, I have to go. So they see him leave. Right? But then he's immediately there. But there's always that thing of going, or like when he goes to Rukmini Swayamvar. There's going to be, he takes his troops and goes out of Dwarka. But then within a few moments, they're there in whatever it is, Rukmini Stan or whatever. You know? Does that make sense? So there's that flavor of doing. So the flavor of going out looking like that. You know, it's a taste because it's one. It'll be, you know, part of the Anubhavas and the Vyabhachari Bhavas. Right? No. Okay. Quote, Lord Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, took Srimati Radharani within his heart, for he desired to dance with her. Thus he left the arena of the rasa dance and the company of all the other beautiful damsels of Raja. So this must be the Gita Govinda verse. Being afflicted by the arrow of Cupid and unhappily regretting his mistreating Srimati Radharani, right? Mistreating by treating her the same as everybody else because she was dealing with her at the level of everybody else could handle. Madhava, Lord Krishna, began to search for her along the banks of the Jamuna River. When he failed to find her, he entered the bushes of Vrindavan and began to lament. Right? So then he's going to look, can't find this, that. So it's all part of the flavor, the taste. Right? Because the intensity, the absorption, that's very nice. 11. These two verses are from the Gita Govinda 3, 1 to 2, written by Jayadev Goswami. Okay. Simply by considering these two verses, one can understand what nectar there is in such dealings. It is exactly like freeing a mine of nectar. Although Krishna was in the midst of hundreds of thousands of gopis during the rasa dance, he still kept himself in one of his transcendental forms by the side of Srimati Radharani. Right, so even he's dancing with the others, he still has a form, he's just with Radharani. That's what I was going to. Look.
Here it's mentioned that Krishna, the enemy of Kamsa, though he's dealing in this rasa, then the word Kamsa is water. So just looking for the meaning. Kamsa means one who is like quarrelsome, one who creates quarrels. And Krishna is the enemy of that. But still here, Radharani created, she went out. Still because, though he doesn't like it, but for her, he can even break that. It means her position is quite unique.
Yeah. Well, you see, it's just that it's the nature. Is that in the nectar devotion when it mentioned about anger? You know, It says, the expression of this anger, you know, towards Krishna or the others or this or that, then that will be, there's two ashrayas of this, right? You know, so it's going through the scientific thing. You know, the elder gopis, and then the younger gopis. And then it goes on to explain. Have we gotten one example outside of? Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that it's a unique flavor of the rasa. So it's not breaking the rules, it is the nature of the rasa. But yeah, it would be something to do with the subtleties that are within there. So that's the thing, is one would say, oh, why are you using this and that, and, you know, like one Prabhupada was criticized for naming the deities in Delhi Radha Partha Sarthi. You know, why is this, that, blah, and this and that? But if you look at it, what does Partha Sarthi mean, this and that? What is he doing? It means if he's maintaining the Mahatattva with the spark of his potency, and we see here the full intensity of all his potencies is manifest with Srimati Radharani. And then you're taking within that Mahatattva one universe amongst unlimited universes. Within that universe, one planetary system within 14. Within that, then it keeps going down till it's just, he's driving a chariot. So he's driving the chariot, but he's totally absorbed in Radharani. And he can drive the chariot. Right? He's not going to bump into, you know, anything. So.
It's the same place,
Kurukshetra. Yeah, it's also Kurukshetra, whereas that you have the aspect of that separation and everything. Because that would have happened before this. Right, yeah, that's another point. Yeah, because you met in Radharani at Kurukshetra, and you have that particular special intensity of separation. And Lord Chaitanya is tasting that flavor. So then, what's the problem?
That was completed then. I'm the same Radha, you're the same Krishna, but
yeah,
same place.
Yeah. So that's the point is that you see with these persons who are on those platforms, they use these different terms, but they use them in properly. Prabhupada was talking before about Rasa Bas. You know? Like that. You know, but here he says, no, there's bringing out something here. They know what they're talking about. You know, so he mentions Kamsa here and that, and, you know. So he's completely sense controlled, because it's not about being with all the gopis. It's about the tastes there. It's about the rasa. Lord Krishna is equal to everyone in his general dealings, but due to the conflicting ecstatic love of Srimati Radharani, there were opposing elements. The progress of loving affairs between a young boy and a young girl is like the movement of a snake. On account of this, two types of anger arise between a young boy and girl, angry with cause and anger without cause. Yes. But in the spiritual world, it has the unlimited transcendental flavor. You know, yeah, the form is the same. That's why we can relate to it. Otherwise, if it wasn't, then we wouldn't have any understanding of what that is and why we should work for that and everything. You know, we'd be very comfortable with our, our dystopian situation. Okay, so then we'll hear tomorrow what Srila Prabhupada has to say about this. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.